Hello, and a very warm welcome to episode 4 of our PolicyCorner.org podcast series. It's good to have you back. Today is Sunday, the 22nd of October. My name is Felix Hoffmann, and I am moderating and producing this podcast, and with me today is Fabio Thoma, who has written an article on our website PolicyCorner.org entitled Bringing Human Rights Home, which we will discuss today. As you know, in our monthly podcast, we discuss articles published on our website with their authors and try to apply their ideas to current issues in global affairs. If this sounds interesting to you, please feel free to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and check out our website, where you can also find all the information on how to get involved. You can also send us feedback to podcast@policycorner.org. And another thing, we are currently organizing a writing competition on the topic of new economic thinking. You can win cash prizes and a journey to Berlin. All the information is on our website, policycorner.org, and submissions are still open until the end of October, so you better hurry up. It's a great opportunity, so we really encourage you to submit your article and join the conversation. Today, we will talk about the Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, human rights and the responsibility of transnational corporations in realizing them. This is a broad topic, so let's get started right away. But first, Fabio, please let us know who you are and what you do with the Policy Corner.
Right. Hi, everyone. Hi, Felix. Thanks for having me. So I'm a student of International Development and Political Science at FU, Freie Universität and Sciences Po Paris. And I'm one of the founding members of the Policy Corner, and I mainly work on monitoring and evaluation in our team and also internal the strategy of the Policy Corner. And I also do internal team trainings. And right now, as you already mentioned, I'm also involved pretty much in the competition. So we are happy to get more submissions in the upcoming days.
Yes, everyone, go for it. So Fabio, it's good to have you. Let's jump right into your article, Bringing Human Rights Home. And in your article, you argue that transnational corporations, or TNCs for short, play a vital role in realizing both the Sustainable Development Goals and human rights. Could you explain to us the correlation between human rights norms, the Sustainable Development Goals, and the role that corporations have to play in realizing them, in your opinion?
Sure. So let me start with human rights, because human rights, they play a crucial role in regards to the SDGs, to the Sustainable Development Goals. So for instance, the SDG 16 says that we have to have societies that are more peaceful, more just, without discrimination of anyone. And this is like a major advancement in regards to the Millennium Development Goals that kind of phased out in 2015, because now we have a much broader understanding of human development as it was the case before. But in order to really reach these SDGs, massive funds have to be unlocked. And there are estimations that yearly we have to spend 2.5 trillion to really reach the SDGs. Now, in order to get this money, all like major leaders met in Addis Ababa in 2015, and they decided to, or they came up with a plan, and they said, well, okay, we need the private business, especially also transnational corporations, in this process in order to make sure that the SDGs are met. But the problem is that TNCs nowadays, or transnational corporations, often interact in law-free areas, which means that, well, in their home countries, so the countries where they have their headquarters, they cannot be held responsible for what they're doing in the host countries, meaning in the countries where they are engaged or where they have their businesses running. And I think, and that's the major claim of my article, that we need a strong legal framework that guarantees that the TNCs stick to human rights obligations and that they can be held liable in the end. Because my fear is that we don't do it, then the means, meaning that the private companies can circumvent reaching the Sustainable Development Goals in regards to the human rights, if the human rights are not respected by transnational corporations.
All right, so you mentioned the important role that corporations have to play, and corporations certainly have a responsibility when it comes to human rights and sustainable development, but it seems to me, like especially in the most affected countries, that this responsibility is moral rather than legal, because, you know, there's really a lack of a legal frame to hold these corporations accountable. Do you also see a risk in transferring responsibility from governments to corporations?
Well, I wouldn't quite agree, because the moment one deals with human rights, it becomes a legal matter. So it means that, of course, these legal matters, they derive from moral philosophical ideas, but protecting human rights in the end is a legal issue, I would say. And TNCs, they have a lot of power in different countries, especially in countries of the Global South. So for instance, if they enter a country, there are so-called investment protection agreement with the respective governments. And these governments, of course, they're in need of investment. So they agree also sometimes to unfavorable terms. So it's not like shifting the responsibilities to corporations, but rather making the home state, so meaning where the corporation have their headquarters, responsible for what their corporations are doing in different countries. And especially, as I explained before, this is due to this imbalance of power and where no legal setting is really met for the corporations.
Right. You also argue that transnational corporations have a particular responsibility with regards to the Sustainable Development Goal number 10, which is the reduction of inequality. If we look at this from the perspective of transnational corporations, though, it seems to me that economically there is not much to gain in reducing inequality. So what incentives might transnational corporations have to change their behavior in this regard? And what role do governments or the European Union or, for example, the ILO, the International Labour Organizations, have to play?
Well, SDG 10 is not only about inequality, it's also much broader. So it also speaks about the active inclusion of people irrespective of their age, sex, disabilities, race, ethnicity, and so on. And TNCs, they have to uphold this value also if they want to reap in the end what happens in these countries, and also when they want to make business, it should be their intrinsic interest in the end to really make sure that these human rights are upheld. Because this starts, first of all, with equal payment, but it also incorporates that workers in the factories, in the corporations, they have something to say. And, for instance, also that there is a neutral person in case of complaints. So, let's say an ombudsperson on a company or country level. And when it comes to different entities, such as the European Union and ILO, I think they play a very important role. Let me give you an example. So the ILO, they came up with a framework which is called Better Work Framework in the garment sector, where it means that they encourage different corporations, TNCs, to invest in different countries, but they have to stick to certain rules, especially concerning labels and gender. And these, whether they are sticking to these rules is always monitored and evaluated, and in the end, there is a mutual benefit, because the corporations, they can make money, but the conditions of the workers are also met. And the UN is also an entity which should be emphasized, and it's also emphasized in my article, because the UN in 2011, they set up the Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights, which was written by the political scientist John Ruge. And the idea in the end is to implement a framework which is called Protect, Respect and Remedy Framework. And just in a nutshell, so protect means that the states protect the human rights and the fundamental freedoms of the workers, but also that businesses, so corporations, in the end, they respect the human rights. And lastly, and I guess we are going to discuss this later on, that states implement an active remedy scheme when human rights are infringed or breached. So far these schemes are more voluntary, but I claim that we should make them binding, and we should have a binding agreement of these guiding principles, of the UN guiding principles.
All right, so you already touched upon a very important topic, which is accountability, of course. So when it comes to human rights, one of the key challenges certainly is enforcement. So states often lack the jurisdiction or the means, or they lack the political will to actually hold perpetrators accountable. And this might be especially true for economically powerful actors. So how do you think can we ensure accountability for human rights abuses committed by transnational corporations, which might be very powerful? And wouldn't that be the responsibility of the state in which the abuse happened?
Well, it should be, yes, of course, but unfortunately, it doesn't often happen. And as I described before, so there's an imbalance of power. And oftentimes when corporations enter a country, they get special conditions, as I described before. So my major argument in the end is that home states, so the home states of the corporations where they have their headquarters, that they assure that TNCs comply to human rights. And this involves that there's legally enforceable framework, and which is more than the voluntary agreement we have so far in place. So let me give you maybe an example of the Canadian companies being involved in mining. And there's been a lot of discussion, especially about the extractive industries being active in the global south, because extractive industries, the nature of extractive industries is that they have an impact on the environment, but also on the people living there. And there's been the case of a company called Barrick Gold. It's a Canadian, one of the major Canadian mining companies in Papua New Guinea, where there were reportedly violent abuses, including gang rapes amongst the workers of a private hired company. And also they discharged the mine waste in the nearby river, which also, of course, caused like natural problems in the area. So my claim is now that once these violations against human rights happen, that the companies should be held accountable, and they should be held accountable in a country where they have the headquarters. And Canada, in the end, they have a lot of experience with these things, because they have a lot of mining industries, they have a lot of industries in the extractive industries, and therefore they know how it works in the end. But I mean, I agree that ensuring human rights overseas or extraterritorial is difficult to implement because it's very complex, it's also very, very costly. But in the end, because these companies or corporations, they make a lot of money abroad, they should also be forced to carry out a human right due diligence activities. And now there are lots of discussions, and also Human Rights Watch was involved in this. And it seems that Canada is also moving into the direction of having an ombudsperson in place, especially for the mining or for the extractive industry. But I think we should even go beyond that and really ensure that each person, each individual, each society can make sure that they have the legal provision, you know, to persecute corporation for any extraterritorial activity they're having. And herefore we have so-called national action plans. And these national action plans, they lay the ground more or less to what's happening. So Canada, in the end, has to make sure that in their national action plans, they state active remedy schemes for their corporation being active abroad.
So we'll talk more about the national action plans later, but right now I want to discuss something else, because we all know that we all know about the phenomenon of globalization and sort of the interrelatedness of the global economy from like every newspaper that we have ever read. But when it comes to accountability for human rights abuses, this actually raises a real problem, because a company might be incorporated in Canada, like the example you just mentioned, but this company has subsidiaries, and these subsidiaries have subsidiaries, and these subsidiaries also have subsidiaries, and it always goes on and on and on. So determining who is responsible for a human rights violation might become extremely difficult, extremely costly. So do you really think that transnational corporations have the institutional knowledge, have the competence, have the means to the means that are necessary for such a task?
I think that's a very crucial question, also one of the main questions being discussed right now, because of course a lot of corporations, they say they don't have the means, but I think it is in the end the obligation of a TNC to make sure that what happens within their value chain or within their corporation, even if it's a subsidiary, they should make sure that they know what's happening, that they monitor and track, and that they are not hiding behind the so-called corporate veil, which is happening so far. So they should be held responsible for the actions and should implement a proper system. And I'm sure that once TNC know that what happens in their name, they will be also able or capable to track and monitor possible age like human rights infringements in a better way. And what we need in the end is like a better, greater transparency. So who's doing what, and especially who is responsible for what. And this also goes along with the Sustainable Development Goal 17, which claims that we need better global partnership amongst private actors, amongst the states and private actor and so forth. But also we need better data and also better monitoring systems in place. And once this happens, I'm sure that also it's also in the interest of TNCs, of corporations, that they know what's happening in their value chain and they can make sure that infringements of human rights are not happening.
You mentioned them earlier and you also mentioned them in your article, the so-called national action plans, in which states outline their respective approaches to implementing the 2011 UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights, which is basically the UN way of coming at the whole corporate social responsibility problem. So could you name some policies that should be part of these national action plans from a human rights perspective? And can you name any best practice examples that we could look at and learn from?
Well, in my op-ed, I mentioned, for instance, the National Action Plan of Sweden, which really, as a best practice, shows and emphasizes the importance of sustainable development goals. But let me maybe perhaps speak about the German National Action Plan, which was passed last year in December, I guess. So what they are saying, and which is really good, I guess, is like they say, okay, they set paths and lead ways to how to monitor possible infringements. So they give tools to the corporation to say, okay, how do you do it in order to circumvent the things like this happen? And then also they state that it's very important to implement a complaint or grievance mechanism within the company, and also that due diligence assessments happen within the company. But John Ruge, the author of the Guiding Principles, he also said, what we need in the end is a smart mix between voluntary and enforcing mechanisms. But here, I would rather say that the German National Action Plan, along other action plans worldwide, they are really falling short in assuring this. And this is especially in regards to the remedy scheme. So there's they are talking about remedy schemes and they say, well, they are important, but they say it needs to be voluntary, at least at this stage. And I think here we need to be more like not that weak in that regard, and we really should make sure that the remedy schemes are implemented and they are legally enforceable. And you were asking about best practices. So, for instance, also the National Action Plan in Italy, Finland and Colombia, they included, for instance, vulnerable groups such as disabled, gays, lesbians, LGBTI into the drafting process. And they also consider them specifically in the outcome document. So I think there's a long way to go and the paths are set and we are more or less going into the right direction, but also there's a lot of work ahead in order to make sure that corporations, they stick to human rights and that infringements are avoided in the future. And in the end, that we can reach sustainable development worldwide.
All right, so we're on a good way, but there's also a long way to go. Thank you very much for this fascinating conversation, Fabio, but I fear that this is all the time we have. I hope you enjoyed this month's episode of our PolicyCorner.org podcast. My guest today was Fabio Toma. Thank you so much again for being here. And I also want to thank Nicolas Goes for helping us out with recording this episode and all of the know-how that we need to do this. Please feel free to subscribe and tell your friends about our project and check out our website, policycorner.org, which also has all the information on how to get involved and publish articles, as well as the information on our writing competition on new economic policy, which you should totally get involved in. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Felix Hoffmann, and that's it for today. More exciting stuff to come, so be back next month for our PolicyCorner.org podcast series. Goodbye.